The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas. Coming up a little later on in the show, Julien Laurent will be here and he'll giving us all the latest on the fallout from Neymar getting sent off in La Classique, accusing an opposition player of racism. Also here, Ali Moreno, and in case you haven't seen this extraordinary video of a player going into the stands in Germany to push over a fan. We'll start, though, in the Premier League. Chelsea kicking off their campaign with a 3-1 victory over Brighton. And Frank, Stevie and Craig with us to discuss this. Craig, how do you sum up this game?
You take the win and your first game of the season away from home and you're running. And you go and work in what's clearly going to be the issue for them again is the defensive aspect of the game. And by that, I don't just mean that they had no Azpilicueta, they had no Chilwell in the starting lineup anyway, and they had no Thiago Silva. But I'm talking about the protection of the back four. So as much as anything, as much as personnel, you're looking at protection of the back four. And that's something that Lampard's going to have to find the balance with and work on, because clearly, as you know, they lost a heck of a lot of goals last season. So you take the 3 points and you go away and you increase your headache about the goalkeeper because his starting position for that goal was absolutely horrendous. He was almost on his left-hand post. And so this just heightens the need for Frank Lampard to go and get a deal for a goalie done ASAP.
OK, let's go with that, shall we? Let's talk about Kepa. Of course, Chelsea win, but they did concede the goal. And we've talked about this a lot, Stevie. When it comes to stopping shots, Kepa was the lowest in the Premier League last season, continuing that trend today.
Without question. I don't think you need to be a former goalie or a goalie coach to see that he has to do better. And actually, by that, I mean he should save it. You know, he basically dives over the top of it. So Frank's got a huge dilemma because you know that he's really not that keen on Caballero. Otherwise, he would have started him today. And now, as much as you know he's not keen on Kepa, then he's absolutely scared witless to put him in between the sticks. So it has to be Caballero. Now, as Craig said, if that was his only problem defensively, that would be great. But the fact is, against a decent attack, they would have lost more goals today. And as Craig also said, in the middle of the park defensively, well, there isn't anything. Brighton just played their way from back to front. But unfortunately for Brighton, they had nothing going up front.
Frank, do you agree?
I do agree. I mean, that was a very underwhelming performance. I was so looking forward to seeing all the new players. Of course, some are injured or not fit enough. Even the ones who were on the field are not fit enough. Averst is the best example, where he was completely inexistent. But I want to know what Loftus-Cheek is doing on the field, you know, for like more than an hour, where definitely I would have put him out after 30 minutes. I mean, that guy has to wake up, otherwise he's not going to play this season. But I want to also say, like Craig said, that it's not only the defensive and the back four problem on top of the goalkeeper problem. It's the way that the team defends and they almost don't do it except Kante. Jorginho hasn't got the physical aspect of a football player to defend properly. He's an artist, but he doesn't know how to defend, and the other don't have even an idea of how they can defend. So it's a real problem. And I have to mention that the two best players for me for Chelsea were Christensen and Zuma. So it says a lot about the problem that they we have this season. Well, hopefully, you know, Thiago Silva will be ready very soon. But they really have a problem. They have a physical problem where they seem to be all very, very tired. And fortunately, they have the chance for them. You know, if Dunk doesn't miss that obvious header, You know, I guess Chelsea would have lost that game. That was, again, very underwhelming performance, and they have to do much, much better if they want to show their power this season.
But they won the game, Frank. And is it the old cliche, you know, if you go in and get the 3 points and play badly, then you've got to take the positives from that?
Yes, of course, that's the only positive things that you can say. But you know that it's going to be a long season. You know that you have to be sharp at the beginning of the season, that it's going to be a big competition. And if you want to survive and finish, you know, maybe a little bit better than last season, let's say third, you will have to fight. And what I see is the Chelsea that I saw last season, with defensive problems, with a lack of desire sometimes to make efforts, of a desire to make efforts defensively and come back. Some technical, you know, mistakes that, you know, it's amazing to see at that level. So I'm ready to support and to help that team, you know, every time they're good. But I have to say the truth when they're not good. And today, it's clearly maybe the worst game that I've ever seen, you know, for a couple of seasons with Chelsea.
And they won.
Is he depressed or what?
Yeah, and they won. And they won. But they won against Brighton. I mean, the best player, you know what the best Chelsea player? He's not at Chelsea anymore. He's the right full back, Lemty. Lemty was the best player. They should have kept him.
But this is
the thing is, Dan, it's the first game out the block. Yeah. So, you know, I think we kind of expect, you know, there's some rust. We've talked about gelling and all that. And I think, you know, when the key players come back defensively, you know, particularly Thiago Silva, you'll get somebody who not only can defend clearly, but can organise. And can organise the middle of the park in front of him by giving instructions. You know, so that will help. On the other side of the coin, you know, he couldn't take your eyes off Timo Werner's movement in that first half. It was just fantastic. And he's going to be, I mean, he's a dream for a midfield player because, you know, if you get a touch and get turned on the ball, you can probably just poke it over the top for him to make runs. And once he gets his timing right and the understanding of his teammates, you can clearly see how good an outball that's going to be. The other thing is, you know, and Frank talked about Loftus-Cheek. We probably are going to see Kai Havertz playing a more central role, I think, as the season goes on and Pulisic comes back to full fitness and such. And I think he'll be much more effective in there. Now, that could be as a striker with Werner coming from a wide position, or it could be slightly deeper where Loftus-Cheek played today. Because I think, at the end of the day, he's more suited to that. He hasn't quite got the pace, and I don't think the desire to run up and down. I mean, you talk about the Lewis dunk header when Reece James tucked in. It was Havertz who was stood at the back post not marking. So it's not really his role or his... it's not really his... you know, ability to do that kind of job. And I think, you know, people were talking, said, well, he wouldn't quite see Havertz at his best. But I think you will when he plays a more central role and he can start pulling strings and playing those lovely little balls over the top for Timo Werner's runs.
Yeah, first impressions of Timo Werner in a Chelsea shirt, Stevie?
Yeah, he looks sharp. The penalty he got is because he's alive, he's alert and he's got pace. But we really haven't seen the best of him, that's for sure, because, you know, we did criticise the middle of the park for not defending against Brighton properly. But I think we also should criticise them because they never gave service to the front three either. And so that really is a worry, because if they can get Werner service, then no question, from the glimpses we saw today, he's going to be a handful for any defence.
Frank?
Yeah, he showed, especially the first half. We lost him a little bit the second half, but as Stevie said, because he wasn't really served. But he had some chances to show us, you know, the talent that he has, the pace that he has, and he will be, you know, with somebody like Ziyech, Mason Mount, and Everest. You know, we're gonna help him out a lot. Hopefully, you know, he's going to score many, many goals because he's already sharp. He's already belonging to the family, and he feels good. We could see that he was feeling good. He was the positive aspect of Chelsea today in the first half.
Just let me go back to the goalkeeper just briefly. I think this was, you know, you could say arguably the perfect scenario today with him, you know, making that mistake again, because it didn't cost Chelsea any points. And if I don't know how far a deal is down the line with any goalkeeper, be it Mendy in France or whoever, but if a deal has been kind of, if it's a game of bluff at the moment with clubs over transfer fees and wages and agents fees, then this is perfect for Frank Lampard to go to the board and say, listen, once again, and say, listen, guys, we need to push any deal that we're chasing over the line now, because here's a guy that I told you at the end of the season was costing us points. Mm. As Stevie said, I don't have a number two that I really want to put in, and we've started the season again, and we've got away with it. But how long are we going to keep getting away with it? So get out there, make sure you get the deal done, get a proper goalkeeper in, and then we can move on. So in some sense, him making the mistake again might just be the kick up the backside that Chelsea need to push a deal over the line.
How sweet was that strike from Reece James, Stevie?
Oh, well, Dan, I can assure you, as a former fullback, you don't hit too many like that in your career. And I know he's still got a lot. He's basically got his whole career pretty much in front of him. But I'll tell you what, I'll have a bet with you that he doesn't hit one sweeter or more perfectly into the top corner than that one today. It was absolutely beautiful. I'm sure he hopes he can do it again, but I'm not so sure he can or will.
Frank, what a way to get your first Premier League goal.
I think it was a header against Coventry, and well, it changes everything.
You know, I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about Andy getting back to you.
I thought you asked me the very first goal. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
A header at Coventry.
yeah, true. But for a first goal in his career, I mean, that's simply a fantastic souvenir. Because on top of it, it's not only the goal he scores, he scores it straight after, you know, Brighton scored a goal. So he really gave, you know, a new freedom to the game for the Chelsea player. So he's top corner, he takes the chance. I mean, the power of the shot is absolutely fantastic, but my header was much better.
Yeah, of course it was, against Coventry as well.
Dan, I actually thought the celebration for that goal was a little strange. I would have expected everybody to have been smiling and going crazy and jumping all over him. He's a young guy. This is his first goal, but there was almost a little look of to everybody that they were like, oh, we've got ourselves ahead. Because they were having an absolute nightmare at the time. That was the first thing that I thought about when I saw them jump or running towards them, if you can call it that. There was a real apathy about it that I found strange.
I think what we should do, we should actually start this whole show again where you come in and say, Frank, talk us through your header at Highfield Road in 1990, whatever it was. That's the only place to start.
You know, sometimes it's not very... Because I'm used to the Scottish accent, but sometimes the English accent, I don't get it.
Yes.
So it's hard to... Yeah, it's true. No, I'm kidding. I didn't understand the beginning of the question.
Obviously, Frank and Craig, you took penalties in your career. Craig, you famously almost got a hat-trick in one game. How difficult is it to do what Jorginho does, time in, time out, with the way in which he takes this like little hop before? Could you do that?
Well, not when you've had 7 operations and you've got no cartilage in your knees, so I wouldn't be trying it, but clearly it works for him. Clearly it works for him because that little hop gets a movement from the goalkeeper, or generally does, and that triggers the side that he's going to put it. So for some reason, the keeper goes early when he does that, or a little earlier, and then he's able to just pick his spot. It's worked great for him, but it's not something I personally would have tried. I used Eric Cantona used to come up to the ball. Eric just never did the hop. Right. He just sauntered up to it almost at walking place, and then put it in the corner side footed. But you know, you've got to have some confidence to do that.
More reaction then to what we saw in the opening weekend of the Premier League on the next edition of the show. Be sure to join us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Neymar, one of five players sent off in yesterday's 1-0 defeat against Marseille. And we talked about it yesterday, didn't we? He claims that he was racially abused throughout the game. This is what he had to say post-match. Yesterday, I revolted. I was punished with red because I wanted to hit someone who offended me. I thought I could not leave without doing something because I realized that those in charge would not do anything, would not notice or ignore the fact. During the game, I wanted to answer, as always, by playing football. The facts show that I did not succeed. I revolted. That's just part of what he had to say as we welcome in Julien Laurent to the show. Jules, what's the reaction been like in France to that incident?
Well, if we start in Paris, of course, the club has been very supportive. They put out a statement tonight saying that they were fully behind Neymar, with Neymar in this incident. In this investigation, believing what Neymar is telling them, which is that he was racially abused. If you go to Marseille, of course, they also supporting their own player, Alvaro Gonzalez, who says that he didn't say anything that Neymar is saying that he said, and the club is backing him up. It was interesting because last night on French television, the television that broadcasted the game, they seemed to say at some point that they could hear Alvaro's racially abusing Neymar. Today, they changed their version a little bit and came out publicly and said, actually, we've looked and looked and looked again, and there's nothing that we can find so far that can back up what Neymar is saying. So I guess it will all be down to the league discipline committee, which will meet up on Wednesday evening. We'll launch an investigation on all those incidents and try to make clarity on whether Neymar tells the truth or Alvaro tells the truth. No one is doubting either, really, now. It's just the word of one against the word of the other. But they will try to make light on what exactly happened on the pitch between Neymar and Alvaro, and if some racial insults had been said.
And if Alvaro is found guilty, I imagine there'll be a long suspension.
Yes, that's right. In the rules for the French Federation, it says that such an offence can give you a maximum of 10-match ban, which is 2.5 months, 3 months, I guess, depending on the gravity of the insults maybe and the things. They could also look at that and maybe punish him even more. You could also have like Neymar could go even to the police if it was proven that Alvaro really abused him racially. So there's a lot of things that can happen between now and later if actually Alvaro is proven guilty. Right now we're still far from this, and I guess the committee will have to decide with the proof, if they can find any proof of what exactly happened.
We saw this was a dirty game throughout. The Di Maria spitting incident, has much been made of that?
Yes, so the head of the French Referee Association or you know, organization, if you want, came out tonight and said that the VAR had a very, very good look after the supposedly spit happened, because very clearly when you see Di Maria walking past Alvaro, then straight away Alvaro turns around and said, he spat on me, and goes and see the fourth referee and the referee. And apparently VAR looked and looked and looked again, and there was no angles, no camera footage, nothing that can back up what Alvaro was saying about the spit, where you would see Di Maria spitting at Alvaro, where you could actually maybe even see the spit or you know, leaving one mouth to go to wherever it went. So I think this one, which the disciplinary committee was going to have a look at on Wednesday, I think this one would not happen, because clearly there was just not evidence at all that Di Maria spat on Alvaro.
When we spoke about this game pretty much at the full-time whistle, Jules, you were pretty embarrassed by that. Has that been replicated all around the country?
Yes, everywhere. I mean, L'Equipe this morning, for example, the newspaper went really strongly calling all those players, whether they're from PSG or from Marseille, idiots and imbeciles. And I think that was really the tone for most of the country, wherever you were. Of course, in Marseille, they celebrated and they welcomed the players as heroes when they landed around 3 a.m. at the Marignan airport in Marseille. And so you should, because you've won for the first time against them in 10 years. There's that big rivalry, have we spoken. But for the rest of the country, very much, it was a feeling of shame and of embarrassment, because as we've seen last night, again, you had the occasion. It was a great opportunity to try to build on the success that French football had in the Champions League, although only a month ago, that you could draw people in watching Ligue 1, saying, look, we know Farmers League, we've got great football, great player, great matches, great rivalries. look, this is the biggest of all, one of the biggest of all. Have a look, come and enjoy it. And instead, it was street fighting. It was really embarrassing. And I think this will leave a scar for a long time. It took us back 30 years ago in the 90s, where those games between PSG and Marseille were really everything but football. And it's just a shame that in 2020, we got back to that.
Away from that game, as I've got you here, Jules, just a couple of transfer topics to discuss with you. Any developments, Memphis Depay moving away from France and going to Barcelona?
Yes, I was told today that Barcelona, who have already pretty much have an agreement with Depay and his agent, are preparing an offer to Lyon. I believe in Lyon. They know that he's going to go. He's got 1 year left on his contract. He's not going to renew at Lyon. I think you can't prevent a player like Memphis to join Barcelona and Lionel Messi and Antoine Griezmann and Ronald Koeman, who, by the way, who we knew very well from the national team either. So I think, again, if Barcelona make a serious offer, and I'm talking a serious offer, you know, not a like loan to pay with a million or something like that, a proper offer, I think Lyon will accept it, and I think Memphis Depay could become a Barcelona player. Whether you think it's a good idea or not, whether what happens if they keep Suarez and can't get rid of him? Does Memphis still come? There's also a lot of other questions, but I think purely on Depay leaving Lyon to go to Barcelona, if there's an offer there, I think that will happen, yeah.
Meanwhile, reports suggesting that Manchester United are already looking at plan B if they can't get Jadon Sancho in this window, and it is a beautiful Welsh flowing locks of Gareth Bale they could be bringing in. Is this really going to happen?
Surely not, Dan. Surely not. Please, Manchester United, be a bit creative for once. Please. I mean, he's 31 and, okay, maybe he wants to come home. Maybe he wants to play again a bit more than what he did last year. But there's no... This would be such a short-term fix. I mean, that would even be on loan. Why not investing some of the money on the younger players with potential that can grow in your club, that would be there for years and years and years, instead of going to get a Bale or even a Perisic on loan or Douglas Costa on loan, or, you know, those players, those veterans who have gone from one club to another. I mean, come on, I think it's time to be creative for Manchester United to try to find better ideas, other ideas, going in a different direction, because I'm not sure what Bale could do in that club. I'm not sure what kind of fix you would expect him to come up with. I just don't think it would be a good idea at all, on top of how much it would cost you already, because even if he comes on loan, you would have to pay quite a lot of his 60 million euros year, net a year wages.
Speaking of quite a lot of money, and speaking of plan B, Koulibaly, of course, has been the number one target for Manchester City. Suggestions that that might not happen. And now they're looking at Jimenez, the centre-back at Atletico Madrid, for something like 80 million euros is the reported figure, Jules. A lot of money.
A lot of money, but a similar amount that they would have to spend on Koulibaly anyway. And we know how difficult the relation is between Napoli and Manchester City since the Jorginho deal. That never happened because they sold him to Chelsea. So it's not surprising that the deal for Koulibaly is very difficult. Ramadani, his agent, is trying hard and is pushing hard, but it looks less and less likely that this one can happen. So you look at other options, you look at other backup. I think Upamecano could have been a player that they would be quite keen on, but it's pretty clear that he will stay anywhere at RB Leipzig this summer. So you go to another option, and Jimenez is a younger option if you compare it with Koulibaly. It's the same price. He's not as good with the ball than Koulibaly is, but you could say that maybe he's better in the air, for example, or he's far more an aggressive defender than Koulibaly is. So maybe you see him as another good alternative. I still think that Koulibaly, for me, is a better defender than Jimenez. Overall, I mean, everything, not just purely defensively. And I just think City should maybe try to persevere a little bit more and then see what happens there, because it's in Napoli's interest as well to sell him. And Koulibaly wants to leave and wants to go to work with Pep Guardiola at Manchester City. So it could still happen, but I guess they're probably already looking at other options.
Great stuff, Jules, as always. Thank you very much. More from Jules on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which is available to download now over on the website.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ali Moreno joins us now to talk about what's been going on around the world. And Ali, we've got to start with this viral video. As Hamburg knocked out of the German Cup, Toni Leistner doing his post-match interview, stops it halfway through to then climb into the stands and push a fan over.
And it's unacceptable in every level from Toni Leistner. I don't care how you present it. I don't care what is it that he's being yelled at or screamed at or whatever he's being told from the stands. And here's the real issue for me if you're Toni Leistner. You're doing your post-match interview. And yes, you're disappointed for the result. You're disappointed in the outcome. You're disappointed that you're not in the competition any longer. But you just get through the interview and then you move on with your life. The fact that you're actually doing the interview, and while you're doing the interview, you're paying attention to what's going behind the interviewer, and not one, but 10 rows deep. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you don't finish the interview. There's a thought process in which you then make the decision. You know what? I'm not only going to go through this stairs. I'm going to go through the other stairs, and I'm going to climb out 10 steps, and I'm going to confront whoever is in the stands that's getting under my skin. It just can't work. It just can't happen. It's inexcusable, and there is nothing that Toni Leistner could say that could change my opinion on this. It doesn't matter what this fan is yelling. It doesn't matter what this fan is saying. You move on with your life because there's nothing to gain from it. Here's the other thing that I would say, and this is regardless of Toni Leistner's behavior. What are the stewards doing in this stadium?
Yep.
There's actually a part in which a couple of stewards see that Toni Leistner is about to make this decision. He's about to go up the stairs into the stands, and instead of stopping him, they just kind of get out of the way and say, go on your merry way. He does the pushing, the shoving, the yelling, the screaming. He comes back down, and the same steward says, this way, Toni, go on down onto the field. What is his job if it's not to either protect the fans or protect the player? Either one, the steward not doing their job, Toni Leistner not doing his job, it's just an inexcusable situation all around.
Meanwhile, Borussia Dortmund did all their talking on the pitch today. And yes, obviously, it's lower league opposition and they had a man sent off early on. But there is something so exciting when you take a look at amongst the scorers, Sancho, Bellingham, Hazard, Gio Reyna, Royce. I don't think there are many other sides in the world that has this sort of excitement around their youth.
And it's attacking talent. Because if you told me it's a lot of young defending players and the up-and-coming center back and the up-and-coming defensive midfielder, well, you kind of look at it and say, well, yeah, this is great, but it's not nearly as appealing. It's not nearly as exciting. Because of the fact that this is attacking talent and because they have individual talent that when you put it together then becomes explosive. And you think of what the potential is for Gio Reyna. You think of what the potential, perhaps already potential, realized from Erling Haaland. If Marco Reus somehow finds a miracle and actually stays healthy throughout the course of the season, Jadon Sancho at his full potential. Now we're talking. Mm. Now we're cooking. Now this is a team that can fully compete. But in order for them to compete against Bayern Munich, which is the team that they would be head-to-head in the Bundesliga, undoubtedly that's going to be where it's going to come to the title. It's going to be either Bayern or Borussia Dortmund. Then they have to defend better. There's no question that Borussia Dortmund can attack. There's no question that in a back-and-forth game, Borussia Dortmund can be as good as anybody else in the world. But can they defend with consistency? And that is a question that they haven't answered just yet.
Well, just a reminder, ESPN, the new home of the Bundesliga, all kicks off on Friday. Bayern Munich against Schalke, that game live on ESPN at 2:30. And then on Saturday, Borussia Dortmund's opener. And what a good game it should be against Borussia Mönchengladbach, that game live on ESPN Plus at 12:30. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to Ali and to Jules. On Extra Time today, Frank, Stevie and Craig shout at me a lot when I suggest that maybe Raul Jimenez could come in and replace Firmino at Liverpool. Check it out. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Frank, Stevie and Craig with us. A lot of questions about Kepa. Saying, with all the pressure looming and possibly Mendy on his way, what's going on in Kepa's head when he concedes a goal that's entirely his error? By the way, Frank Lampard after the game said, I'm happy with Kepa. Kepa is here and he is our keeper, Craig.
Yeah, well, he has to, I suppose.
He played the trombone, Stevie.
I suppose he's playing the keep it clean in public strategy until he can get him out, because clearly he's not happy with him, and he knows it's another mistake. Now, it didn't cost him, but the first thing I looked at was his position, and it, as Stevie said in the show, we don't really, if you should ask Xhaka about it, but it looked to me as if he was so far over to the left that even though he should have maybe still saved it, he was nowhere near the middle. I mean, he was never going to get beaten at his near post, the position he was in. He could almost have put his left arm out and touched that left-hand post. So, yeah, just to stop beating about the bush, Lampard just doesn't fancy him.
Stevie, as an Everton fan, I should know better than to get excited about the coming season, shouldn't I? Thoughts on what Everton could feasibly challenge for this campaign?
Oh, that's a tough one. It's only one game, but it was impressive. You know, the three players, Doucouré, Allen and Hamas, I thought all made a huge difference to Everton. They were free-flowing. They created chances. If Richarlison was a better finisher, then this game would have been a lot more comfortable than it ended up being. So it's only one game, though. And there's question marks over Allen and Hamas. You know, whether they last the pace, how many games they'll play, will they stay fit? But if these three new signings can all stay fit and healthy and play a season, then they've got to be looking at absolutely number one, getting in the top 10, because they were outside of that. And then after that, battling for top six? Because on the evidence of the game at Tottenham, they're capable, no question.
How excited should Everton fans be, Frank?
They should be excited. I mean, it's true that, as Stevie said, it's only one game. But with lots of promises, the way they played, the way they handled Tottenham is good for the future. We don't know yet. You know, I didn't put them in the top six because James at the time and maybe Alan also didn't sign at the time you asked me that. But
I'm sure
they can reach that.
They both signed by the time you gave us predictions, Frank. Don't give us that.
No. I don't think James did. But I still believe for me that he won't finish in the top six. But it can be top seven. And I think it will be a good beginning of a new era for the Toffees.
Suggestions, meanwhile, that Manchester United are looking at Gareth Bale if they can't get Jadon Sancho, which leads us to, is Gareth Bale a good option, Craig, for United, given that he possesses the talent and class they so desire, but has a less than favourable injury record?
Well, that's where United would have to size it up in terms of the fee and the wages and the structure of the deal. But a fit Gareth Bale and a Gareth Bale who wants to get, you know, back playing to the standards that we know he can, then yes. I mean, it's not the ideal scenario if they want Jadon Sancho, because you're buying a player for around a decade or so, or you've got a sellable asset if he wants to move. So that's the scenario. But if you want results now and you can structure a deal and he's fit, then he's a match winner. It's as simple as that.
Worth the gamble, Stevie, for a player who's hardly played for 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, depending on the money...
It'll be a lot.
Listen, he has a history. Yeah, I'm not so sure. You know, when I hear of a player who has decided to go to China and play out the rest of his career, it makes me think that bond and the desire and the fire in your belly's not really there. You're taking like the easy way out. It's a lot of money. So I just wonder. Listen, I don't know Gareth Bale, but I just question anybody who kind of decides that. And the career's pretty much done. I've won enough. I've got plenty of money. I'll go and get some more, and I'll go to China. That doesn't sit well with me.
It's quite simple. That's what I think anyway, Stevie said. If it's silly money, the answer's no. If it's not, and it's not going to burn the house down, then it might make common sense for a couple of years. But if it's silly money, and you said it might be, but I don't really see how it will be. And if it's not, it might be something worth thinking about.
It's all about the wages, isn't it, Frank? Of course, one of the highest paid players in the world, Gareth Bale. Manchester United would be asked to pay a lot of that. I imagine if Real Madrid were going to let him go, if you're United, would you do it?
No, I wouldn't. I would have a big discussion. Maybe I would have a big discussion with Gareth Bale. I want to know what he has in his brain, what he wants to do for the rest of his career. If it's just about earning money, don't come to my club, because we have hopes, we have goals, and it's not only about money. And you will have to make an effort, because your wage is too big, is too high for the player that you have been and you became. And it was maybe good to give you that amount of money when you were playing and you were at the top at Real Madrid, but it's not the case for the last 2 years. So I don't think Manchester United should go for that type of player if he only comes and keeps his wage and doesn't really express what he wants to do for Man United.
Stevie, where would you rank Raul?
Alexis Sanchez hasn't done him any favours.
No, that's very true. Stevie, where would you rank Raul Jimenez amongst the strikers in the Premier League? Lovely goal today.
Oof. Do you know, if I'm a centre back and I'm looking at the opposition, he's one of the players I don't want anything to do with, because he never stops. His movement's great. He's strong. I mean, right now he's doing everything. He's doing Robbo's favourite. He's running in behind as well, and he's scoring goals. So, absolutely, he's got to be up there amongst the best centre forwards in the Premier League. No question.
It's not really a debate, is it, Craig?
No, and that's why a few of the bigger clubs don't want to be disrespectful to Wolves. Have got a good team, but that's why a few of the so-called bigger clubs were looking at him, and probably are still looking at him. And he's just continued that on from last season. But as Stevie said, he's physical, he runs the channels, he links up, he's good in the air, and his finishing's been excellent. So, no, absolutely, he's up there in the top, you know, five or six strikers. I mean, you know, you got Harry Kane, you got Firmino, you got Aguero, Aubameyang, Werner.
He's better than Firmino, isn't he?
Oh, steady on.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What do you mean steady on?
I mean, what a stupid thing to say that is.
Why?
Roberto Firmino's been one of Liverpool's best players over the... And he didn't finish his season in terms of his finishing last season well. But Roberto Firmino's link-up play and understanding of the game and bringing other players in has been incredible for Liverpool. He had a quiet couple of months at the end, and you've got him in the trash can already.
I'm going to be in the trash can, but I think Raul Jimenez or Firmino... Who are you going for first, Stevie?
Raul Jimenez is a completely different player.
I'm going for Firmino.
Stevie, tell him.
Yeah, me too.
Firmino. Of course you do.
He's not had a good spell.
He's not had a good spell, right? But before his bad spell, he was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
So,
the names that Craig named, all the names that Craig named just before, you know, on the top striker that we have. The first that I will buy if I'm a chairman is Firmino. Because he can score, he can serve, he knows football, and he's the best player. Best player from far away comparing to the others.
Frankie, he's just been destroyed. He's got nowhere to turn now. In fact, I would be surprised when we cut back that he's still in that chair. Oh, he's still there.
Yeah, I still here.
So good. So good he was. Klopp desperate to get Timo Werner in. There we go.
What do I know?
Oh, yeah. He was so desperate he didn't bother. Yeah,
right. Because he didn't get the money.
Is that your comeback?
The ball went
in. Is that your comeback? Is that it?
Stevie, he's gone. He's gone, Stevie. He's done. Hey,
by the way, Timo Werner's not...
Honestly, go on, Stevie. Go on.
The season's just started.
Damn,
no. Go on, Stevie. And he's got Stevie, pie all over his face already.
You can't argue with somebody who comes up with a statement that you gave just two minutes ago. How can you argue with somebody when they don't know what they're talking about? So it doesn't really matter what you say. They're not going to get it.
Leave them. Cut this extra
punter.
Time now.
That's it. You're a punter.
I'm a punter. I know nothing. I know. I'm sorry.
You tell the producer.
Just ask the question.
Cut this bit
just
out.
Bobby Firmino, greatest player in the world.
Here he is.
Clearly.
There he is. Look.
Frank, take it into consideration. PSG's poor start.
He's still digging it out.
Oh, no, whoa, you keep on talking. Tell me.
Keep digging.
Frank, we're taking into consideration PSG's poor start to the campaign and Lyon's great run in the Champions League. Do you agree with Denier that Lyon have the squad to win Ligue 1?
No, because, when I see the Paris Saint-Germain squad and when I see Lyon squad, the differences of level, the level is so high with Paris Saint-Germain. Of course, they are struggling right now, but they're going to come back and they're going to win easily again the Ligue 1. Lyon is a promising team, but if they lose some like two other players, it's going to be complicated. It was complicated last year when they lost Ndombele and another player, midfield player. I try to remember his name. it's been complicated. They haven't been replaced. They had a good end of the season, but the Champions League, the last eight, was particular. I don't think Lyon would have gone that far if the Champions League would have carried on, you know, like he should have done. So Lyon is a good team, but Paris Saint-Germain is much, much better.
I remember the Lyon midfielder, but I'm not going to tell you because you're mean to me. Did you guys have any trouble communicating with your international teammates during the game since people tend to speak in their native language in the heat of the moment? Craig, you've played with quite a few internationals from all around the world.
Yeah, that's Frank. Frank quickly understood the native language. It's not repeatable.
Just swearing, yeah, Frank? Just that's what it was.
Well, that's the thing. When you play with Dennis Wise, you know, you have to learn the first bad words, you know, that you all say in English, and that's what it is, you know. And Gianluca Vialli and Craig could to say a story another time, you know, about what Dennis Wise taught him, and they kept on repeating before knowing what he was saying. In fact, you know.
But I think the thing is, Dan, we're the ignorant ones because most, not everybody, but most of the guys can speak a fair bit of English,
sure,
coming from most of the countries. I mean, Gianluca and Gianfranco Zola couldn't, and they, Roberto Di Matteo could. Frank could speak a fair bit, if memory serves me right. The problem came in, Dmitry Karin came in about 92, 93, the Russian number one goalkeeper, and he couldn't speak a word, which is totally understandable. So that was quite difficult from a perspective of communication during a game, particularly with the defence. But I would say 99% of the foreign guys can generally speak enough good English to understand.
Stevie, when you get angry...
The
you
thing
get
is, what you have to do, Dan, when you have to do, when you first came, when you first come and you are French or you're whenever, you have to learn the first words, like turn, like manon, like right. And it has to become a reflex, you know, to make sure you say it and you say it properly to be understood by everybody. That's the first thing that you have to learn.
Stevie, when you get angry, you get extra Scottish. Were you aware of that when you were at the Revs, that you had to maybe calm down, slow down, so they understand what you were saying?
Not until it was too late. Well, because you lose it.
Well, you're talking to a
too
man,
late.
Daniel.
Yeah.
You're talking to a man that's had many hours of elocution lessons. I mean, he even used a word on the show that he doesn't know the meaning of. Apathy.
Ah.
Oh. Hey, by the way, I will tell you something, Dan. 100%, it actually saved me a lot of money. The fact that when I lost my rag, I went pure Scottish brogue.
Right.
That meant that the officials couldn't understand me either, because I can assure you, if they had, it would have cost me an awful lot more money. So it was a good thing in the end.
How much did you have to pay in fines, Stevie, during your days? Was it $6,000? Does that still hurt?
I probably paid about that. Something like that. Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't happy. The wife wasn't particularly happy, put it that way.
Frank and Craig, do you have any stories from nights out together after wins? Frank, would you go and would you socialise with Craig afterwards, or would you leave him to it?
Not too much. It was the first year, so I was, I was quite injured. So the first year, so I was pretty serious. And after the game, I was going back home, and I wasn't going too much outside and socializing with the others. But we had two teams in the squad, where the most of the foreign players were living in London, where most of the British players were living outside London. So it was difficult to be reunited.
Yeah, it was. That was the problem when you played, you know, when Stevie was at Liverpool, it was easier. When I was at Celtic in Glasgow, everybody lived probably within 10, 15 mile radius of each other. So it was much easier, but London was just, the get-togethers were so infrequent at Chelsea because, you know, it's Frank and a lot of the lads lived in central London, kind of sort of Chelsea, Knightsbridge, that kind of area. And some of the lads lived down in Surrey, which is, you know, sometimes with traffic over an hour's drive south, and I was in the north in Hertfordshire. So, if you did meet up in London, and, you know, there wasn't any Ubers in those days, so it was just difficult. So they were rare. They were rare having nights out. Other clubs, they were quite frequent, but not Chelsea.
Final question to you, Stevie. Who was a better crosser of the ball? Trent Alexander-Arnold, David Beckham, or Craig?
This is Don. This is Don that tells this story.
Well, number one, let's be honest. Craig didn't play in a wide position. He played through the pipe. He was there to come in late and get on the end of crosses. So it's basically between Beckham and Trent Alexander-Arnold. Oh. I mean...
I didn't even treat this seriously, Stevie.
Well, you know how this came about, Stevie?
Well, I'm a very serious person.
You know how this came about, Stevie? Because Don Hutchinson tells a story that when Brownie was playing me wing back for Scotland and we were playing England in the Euro 2000 playoff, he stood in the dressing room and told everybody I was a better crosser of the ball than David Beckham, and everybody was sniggering and laughing.
He said everything nice about every players who are supposed to play, and everybody was believing what he was saying until he said that Craig was better crosser than Beckham, and then it was over.
He overstepped the mark.
Even I laughed at that one.
All right, boys.
It's a classic Brown par.
Good stuff. As always, thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.